And now the game where we like to invite local notables onto the show to answer questions about things they haven't noted. Modern presidential politics has become ultimate fighting for nerds. It's fast, messy, people get hurt, but everybody still wears a tie or a pantsuit. To help us understand all this, we are pleased to welcome the distinguished former senator from South Dakota, the one-time Democratic presidential candidate from 1972, Mr. George McGovern. George McGovern, Senator McGovern, welcome to Wait, Wait.
Thank you.
So, if I remember correctly, from 1972, you stood for amnesty, abortion, and acid. So, is that still your platform?
The triple A.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, let's talk a little bit about the 72 campaign, because, of course, the other guy cheated, as we then found out. And you ran an upstanding campaign. Nothing seemed to go right for you. And the other guy, shall we say, succeeded, though. Of course, as the Democratic nominee, you had a certain disadvantage. You had to work with Democrats. And I remember you saying once that you actually gave a wonderful, stirring, barn burner of a speech. The problem was you had to give it at 3 in the morning. What exactly happened? Democrats were just hard to control at that time.
Well, Democrats are an ornery bunch.
Yeah.
They're also people of conviction who love to express those convictions, even if it is 3 o'clock.
Right.
Yeah, in the morning. Yeah. So, and we didn't pay any attention to television schedules. I mean, what's prime time got to do with giving the most brilliant acceptance speech in American political history. So we had people talking until 3 o'clock. That's what I'm getting to.
Right, I understand. Well, yeah, you know, as you say, people of conviction. Where I'm from in Illinois, that has another meaning, but that's... Now, something was interesting that was very pertinent this week is that President Nixon refused to debate you.
That's correct.
What reason did they give?
I think he was terrified. We had always had presidential debates up until that time. You remember the debates between Kennedy and Nixon?
Yeah. I've heard of them, I have to say. Yeah.
But Nixon stoutly refused to have one debate.
Aren't you supposed to, no matter what you may privately feel, I mean, I totally understand being scared. I, sitting on a stage right now with you, am somewhat terrified. But
me too.
Okay, good. But don't you have to, just for public consumption, give a reason?
Yeah.
What was the reason he gave?
He never gave a reason, and for some unexplained reason, the press never wrote him on that very hard. He used to talk about the bias of the liberal press.
No, really?
I never could find that liberal press.
Yeah, well.
But he never really gave an explanation for that. We never even had an explanation for things like what were 7 people, 2 of them carrying White House passes, doing with their burglar gloves, their break-in tools in the Democratic National Headquarters, again at 2 o'clock in the morning.
I heard something about that.
Yeah. Well, what was interesting...
Cleaning.
People forget this. People think of Watergate and the scandal as happening post-election, but actually the break-in happened and was publicized before the election.
June 17th.
Yes.
A month later, we had the 2 conventions. It was still 3 months away from the... national election, but no particular fanfare was raised about it.
Now, it is of course true that about 2 years after Nixon beat you in the 72 election, he had to resign in disgrace for the things that he had done during the election campaign. And to my knowledge, you never, you know, indulged yourself by standing up in front of the American people and saying, "I told you so." And I would like to invite you now, if you like, to do just that. Go ahead. Indulge yourself.
Okay.
Be venal.
Okay.
Go.
I've never said I told you so, because I learned a long, long time ago, even before I got into politics, the one thing you don't want to say to somebody who already feels betrayed and injured is, oh, I told you so.
Right.
That's not a good idea.
But aren't you the betrayed and injured party here?
The whole country was.
Well, yeah, I guess so. I know after your defeat in 72, you ran for president twice more, if I'm not mistaken.
Briefly.
Mm-hmm. You ever thought doing it one more time?
I think now I've had about enough experience to do it.
You think so? You think you're finally ready?
John McCain is right. You need experience.
Yes. Lots of it.
To be in the White House. And I've had a lot of it. I've had a lot of time to think. Mm-hmm. So maybe 4 to 8 years down the road, I'll try it again.
I think so. Senator McGovern, we are so pleased to have you with us. We've invited you here today to play a game we're calling...
Now that's how you win an election.
Senator, history shows that you were the better man in the 1972 presidential election, but a fat lot of good that did. Clearly, you lacked the killer instinct. So we're going to ask you three questions about some more hard-hitting political tactics as practiced in American elections. We're going to ask you three questions taken from the book Anything for a Vote by Joseph Cummins. Get two questions correct, you'll win our prize for one of our listeners. Carl, who is the senator playing for?
He is playing for Dave Munson from Sioux Falls, South Dakota.
All right, here's your first question. In 1824, Andrew Jackson was aiming for a rematch against John Quincy Adams, who had beaten him 4 years before. This time, Jackson was playing hardball. Among the successful attacks launched against the incumbent president were which of these? A, that President Adams smoked cigars in the European mode rather than chewing his tobacco like a true American? B, that President Adams had actually brought a billiard table into the White House for immoral purposes? Or C, that President Adams was secretly and shockingly a Reformed Baptist rather than the Methodist he claimed to be?
Probably the last one.
That he was a Reformed Baptist rather than a Methodist, which would have been all kinds of hoo-ha back then.
Yeah.
No, actually, it was the billiard table.
Was it the billiard table?
Table. Yeah.
Us Methodists are against all of those things.
Really? Well, apparently, so are the American people. Jackson supporters called the billiard table, quote, gambling furniture. This worked, and Jackson won handily. All right, well, here's your next question. Sometimes slander doesn't work. For example, Martin Van Buren won the election in 1836. Despite what bump on his road to the White House? Was it A, his opponent slandered him by calling him a, quote, Dutch American? B, he was arrested for riding his horse drunk through Washington? Or C, frontiersman and national hero Davy Crockett accused him of being a cross-dresser?
Maybe the first one?
The first one, they tried to slander him by referring to him as a Dutch American, mm-hmm. which would have been a term of disapprobation back in the day.
Yeah.
That's what you think?
I think so, yeah.
It was actually Davy Crockett called him a cross-dresser. Crockett, it turns out, I didn't know this myself, was sort of the Swift Boat Veterans for Truth of the day. He wrote a scandalous sort of basically hit book about Van Buren. In it, he wrote, and I quote, Martin Van Buren is laced up in corsets such as women in town wear, unquote. It went on in that vein. Fortunately for him, Crockett did not have to see the man he hated elected president because he was killed at the Alamo first.
didn't Davy Crockett wear fur?
Well, that was very manly at the time. Yeah. But there, you're thinking of the famous...
He was all pimped out in fur. It's true.
I'm sorry, but I don't think the phrase Davy Crockett was all pimped out has ever been uttered in the history of English language.
He was totally draped in fur. I mean, it's ridiculous.
My God. All right.
You can see I know very little about pimpology.
Well, you need...
That is so good.
Senator, you need to rush back to Washington and work on that.
Okay. All right, here we go. Well, this is your last question. See what you can do here. Now, the dirtiest election in American history at least until yours, was between Samuel Tilden and Rutherford B. Hayes in 1876. There were widespread accusations of cheating, ballot stuffing, and of course there were smears on all sides. The Tilden people once accused Hayes of doing what? A, killing and eating a child. B, shooting his own mother. Or C, fathering 47 illegitimate children.
The third one sounds the most exciting.
Yo, yeah. Say that, I begin to think maybe Spiro Agnew was right about you. I don't know. But your choice is fathering 47 illegitimate children, which does, now that you mention it, sound like fun. No, the answer was B, shooting his own mother. The slander was spread in anonymous letters sent to Ohio newspapers. It was a swing state back then, too. So, Carl, how did Senator McGovern do in our quiz?
Peter, the senator continues to lose big.
But with honor.
Yes.
But with honor. Well, like, I mean, you know, you're a man who rises above the contest he's forced to engage in. So I appreciate it. We appreciate you for doing it here. George McGovern is, of course, a former World War II decorated bomber pilot. He was a member of the U.S. House of Representatives and served with distinction in the United States Senate. He was the Democratic presidential nominee in 1972. He now works to fight child hunger around the globe. George McGovern, thank you so much for joining us. An honor to have you with us.
Thank you.
Senator McGovern.
Thank you.